Look closely.
That's all it says.
That's all it says. Number 25, a simple way to slightly improve your life. Look closely. What do you think that means?
I think whoever was assigned that did not finish that assignment.
Look closely feels a little too vague to really implement into your daily routine.
What? Nigel, are you the one who put look closely on the list?
What does that mean?
What does it mean?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the lunch hour of As Goes Wisconsin. We are bracing ourselves for snow tonight. You got tricked thinking that spring might be here like we always do every year, but it is not. There is still snow to be had. Hopefully not that much. Hopefully it melts quickly.
Corey Hartman is going to join us at about 12:20. And he's our engineer extraordinaire and also our weather guy extraordinaire. So explain what we can be looking for around different parts of the state. Still this traffic note, if you're in Washington County, traveling in Waukesha County, Washington County, yes, southbound 41 at Pioneer Road, all the lanes are blocked because of a crash. They are letting you through in the right shoulder. So just keep that in mind. It's going to be slow. All southbound lanes, 41, southbound 41 at Pioneer Road closed to Highway 45 because of a crash. It's going to be at least an hour before they get that cleaned up.
All right. Does money make you happier? Yes or no? 844-967-2789. Does money make you happier? 844-96-PARTY. We're going to get into the study that basically now argues that it does. But Jane, personally, do you think money makes you happier?
I think money certainly makes life easier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it makes you happier because I think we can look at all kinds of celebrities and athletes and really famous, wealthy people who did not seem to have very happy lives.
Yeah. I guess for you, have you had different, like, do you, in your own life, have you had different levels of income, savings, whatever, security that you feel like you can compare it to of times, like, if there's any correlation? Or has it always been kind of consistency?
No, it hasn't always been consistent. There were periods where I made significantly more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I was that much happier. It's easier, as you say, though, not to worry about things.
Yeah.
You can save. You can, you know what having money does? It allows you to be miserable in nicer circumstances. That's what money does.
Because I feel like I've, and this is with the caveat of acknowledging I have always had a safety net. Right. And not everyone always has that. Right.
A lot of people don't have that.
A lot of people do not have the fact. Like, I feel like I need to acknowledge the fact that I have taken big risks in my career and my life, knowing that at the very end of the day, I could still move in with my parents.
Right.
Granted, I would have to, you know,
make some adjustments.
But, you know, like there was a security in knowing I have parents who love me. I have a brother who loves me that, like, if something ever were to go really bad, I would not be homeless.
You had a landing spot.
And so I think that is part of this, right? Like, there is levels of having more money, having less money, but then there's a lot of us who don't know what it's like to actually be poor. And I would totally put myself in that. Like, there's times where I've been broke, like coming out of college, living in San Francisco, trying to live in my entry-level salary, but, like, never poor,
right.
Never like on the verge of I can't make rent and I'm going to get evicted.
No, and I've been fortunate that way too.
Yeah, and so I think there is a different level there, but I would agree with you in my range of more money, less money, certainly have been added stressors when I've had less money.
Mm-hmm.
But I always feel like there is a certain level of, I don't know. I don't necessarily know if I was. I certainly wasn't happier when I was working in tech and I was making a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Because it was the job itself. I mean, I was having fun, but I was certainly not fulfilled. And like every couple of months, I was daydreaming about what other career path I could go off and start, because this was not it. But anyways, so I bring all this up. I would love to hear from you on whether or not you think in times in your life where you've had more money versus less money, how that is correlated to your happiness. 844-967-2789. And I bring this up because I think we all kind of, when this happened in 2010, there was a study that found happiness plateaued near a salary of $75,000, which this will tell you how much inflation has changed.
Yes.
In 13 years, $75,000 in 2010 is $103,000 today.
Wow.
And so, and like, there's not a lot of people in the United States or in Wisconsin that are making $103,000, right? But now, it's forget about being rich in friendships. It's time to 10x that salary and start a side hustle, because a new study found that happiness rises with income, even accelerating at levels beyond $100,000 per year and up to $500,000 a year. And millionaires and billionaires might be even happier. The study's authors didn't have conclusive data for salaries beyond that range. Apparently, you know, they're a little too busy to fill out these kinds of studies. But the new study, which was published in the Proceedings of National Academy of Sciences, two researchers, and including the one who wrote the 2010 paper, which I think is super interesting.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah. Surveyed 33,391 U.S. adults aged 18 to 65 with household incomes of at least $10,000. So $10,000 being the poverty level.
Yep.
And participants logged their happiness levels when prompted randomly throughout the day via an app. So basically, it's like Be Real. Do you know what Be Real is?
No.
Be Real. I had a friend over for dinner last night, and she's very big on Be Real, which is it's like a social media app that's more about being real.
Okay.
Where you get pinged in the middle of the day at some random time. It's always different every day. And you're supposed to share a picture of whatever you're doing in that moment. And it takes a picture of on both your front and your back camera.
Okay.
So she was over at dinner, so I was in hers last night. And so she took a picture of herself, like a selfie, and then of me. And so it's supposed to be like a more realistic snapshot of whatever you're doing versus the very posed, like filtered one. But so this study is the ping, rate your happiness in this moment.
Okay.
And apparently, the people who were doing part of this study, of the 33,000 people, the people who had more money throughout the day rated themselves on average happier than the people who made less. And apparently it's also not the only factor, though. And its emotional effect is small compared to other considerations like time off of work. An approximately fourfold difference in income is about equal to the effect of a weekend off.
Oh my goodness.
So I just think it's interesting. Because I feel like security and not stressing about money is also different from happiness.
I agree. Security is one thing, and happiness is another.
Yeah.
But it's hard. It certainly is much more difficult to be happy if you're struggling every day.
Certainly. And I think there's more and more proof that depending on where you live, this is why it's always hard with national studies like this, because $100,000 in different, depending on where you live, is very, very different.
Absolutely.
Like $100,000 in Wisconsin Rapids is very different than Manhattan.
Right.
And it's also very different depending on if you have kids. And it's, I saw this the other day. You know, because there's always these happiness by country ranks. And I don't think the United States ever cracks the top 10. Like, we're not necessarily a happy country, despite being
pretty wealthy.
A wealthy country. And, you know, you compare it to Western European countries in a lot of ways, and having met a fair amount of people who are from France or England or whatever in different countries. And, you know, there's the dream or whatever. They spend time in the U.S. and, you know, have a fair amount of comparison ability to compare the two countries and the two cultures. And, like, the acknowledgement that you can make way less money in any European country and still get by because the cost of living is so much less.
Right.
Because benefits from the government are so much more. And there is, I think, also not just this like hustle culture that plagues the US of like keeping up and consumerism and the stuff that will make you happy and the stuff that you can buy and stuff, that it's like there is a certain level of what wealth and enough money and more money here that I think is also tied into like our ethos of what we think about happiness, that is not a universal truth throughout the world.
Yeah, not everyone worships stuff as much as we do. And according to a 2022 survey for the fifth year in a row, Finland, the world's happiest country, according to World Happiness Report rankings, neighbors Denmark, Norway, Sweden, and Iceland also scoring very well on those same measures.
Which is always really interesting to me because it's also some of the darkest places and some of the coldest places in the world.
And I had a good friend and her husband who lived in Finland for a while. He was over there for work. They were not chucklemeisters, those
really?
Finns. Not so much. They loved it and said it was a lovely country and they were lovely people, but as far as being big yuckmeisters, at least in the circles that they, not to
they
disparage all
in.
Finns everywhere, I'm sure you're hilarious.
All right. Well, when we come back, Corey Hartman will be here to give us an update on what we can expect from the weather tonight. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Since my gal and I ain't together.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jade Madnair. And we're hoping Corey Hartman will give us a call.
We are trying to hook up with the amazing Corey. He is in Madison. I know he's got 4,712 things on his plate,
that is
I believe,
true.
is the actual number. But yeah, we do have weather coming our way. Winter storm warning now for most of southeastern Wisconsin. That begins at 6 p.m. and will go until tomorrow morning. They say that overnight is going to be some of the heaviest stuff, but it could be tricky in the morning.
Tricky.
Might be a tricky drive.
Tricky drive.
Yeah.
You could hear it before I do.
I do.
You think, what did we name your car? What's your name?
It's the Grey Goose.
The Grey Goose. You think the Grey Goose will be able to make it?
She's gotten through. I've never gotten stuck.
You've never gotten stuck?
Not in all.
Not in your own driveway snowbank like I have?
No. But you get some special dispensation because you didn't live here for really long. I mean, you left before you knew how to drive.
Basically. I got my, because I didn't get my birthday's in June, and I got my permit. I don't know why I did it late. Clearly, I wasn't itching to get my driver's license. But I ended up actually getting my driver's license in October. So I had been 16 for 5 months, 4 months. And then by January of that year was the 4-month trial run my dad and I did in LA. And so basically I had gotten my license and 4 months later was driving on 7-lane highways in Los Angeles.
That must have been terrifying.
You know, I often think back to the kind of teenager I was, and it is like, I don't have any memory of being intimidated by much of anything, which if I could gift that to my future children or to anyone, to think about the casting director and producer meetings I took at 16 and just walked in and knew, was never intimidated and was never just like did my smiley I'm Kristen thing, and the fact that I would just drive myself. And this was before, I mean, this is really a throwback for, I mean, it was even before MapQuest, where you could print off the directions of I'm starting here, I'm going there. This is because it was before Google Maps,
right? Right,
which would automatically update. But before even MapQuest, at least for Los Angeles, there was a thing called the Thomas Guide, which was a book like 3 or 4, 3 inches thick, that it was a map. And so you would basically look up the coordinates of what cross streets you were going to in Los Angeles. And then you, in the back glossary or index, and then you'd flip to that page and be able to see, like, it was much more, you had to have a lot more skill than you do even now. Like, I still, there's just like still streets in my neighborhood in Milwaukee. You're like, oh, I live in this and this. I was like, I don't know what that is. I know my address, and I know how to get to and from work, but without this, I don't know if I could find you as far without having to loop around and look at every street sign. And so, yeah, I mean, I think what really freaked my mom out, though, is when she came to visit for the first time, and there was this, so over by the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles, there is, it's like, it's the 101, so it's a major, major freeway, and if you got on to the 101 and we were trying to get to our like temporary housing where we were living, you had about one exit to get from the far left lane where you was the on-ramp.
Yes.
To get all the way over to the far right lane to get off at the next exit. And I'm pretty sure when my mom came to visit one time, I was like, all right, you might want to close your eyes for this part.
Oh, good
and
God.
I just booked it because there's never not traffic in Los Angeles. And you just immediately, and I think she held on to my thigh almost as tightly as she held on to my hand when we went to the Grand Canyon when I was 5, where I looked up at her and I said, Mom, can you loosen your hand a little bit? It really hurts.
No, you're staying here.
And because she's a little bit, she gets a little nervous. And so I learned it. I learned to drive in Los Angeles.
Do you think it was better that you were so young and did not realize
how I didn't know anything different?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, how potentially probably deadly this was, because I would think that if, you know, you moved out there at 18 or something, it would have been a little more, you might've been a little more cautious.
Maybe. I don't think that was the person I was, though. Like, no matter what, I think I kind of have always just felt, at least at that age, that youth gave me the invisibility cloak of being like, I'll be fine. And so, but yeah, I think we got Corey to give a quick weather update.
It's going to be a really, really quick weather update. Corey, what do you got for us?
All right, heavy snow, over 8 inches likely along the lakeshore, probably 4 to 7 across the rest of southern Wisconsin. Wind not too bad, but this is going to be heavier snow with temperatures in the upper 20s and low 30s, so it's going to be a little bit hard to shovel.
And what about driving tomorrow morning, Corey? Is that going to be an issue? And this is primarily south central and south southern Wisconsin?
Yeah, about the southern two-thirds of Wisconsin that's going to be, you know, affected by this. The winter storm warning, the heavier snow really tapers off around 10 a.m. tomorrow. So the morning commute tomorrow is going to be the worst time.
All right. Well, we will adhere to that. I'm sure we will try to get in here as quickly as we can and be safe. But thank you so much for the update, Corey. How are things in Madison?
Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh, did he hang up?
I don't think he heard. Corey, are you still there?
I'm still here.
I said, how are things going at HQ in Madison?
You know, we're getting it all put together. Lots of parts and lots of moving parts.
Well, we love to hear it. We can't wait to see the final product.
The nerve center.
Yes, exactly. Thank you so much for the call, Corey. And we are going to take another break. And when we come back, Sarah Godlewski will be here to talk about some of the rallies that are coming up that you can join. This is As Goes Wisconsin. All the Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are so excited to welcome back our next guest, Sarah Godlewski, who is the former state treasurer of Wisconsin, former candidate for U.S. Senate, and founder. Is founder of Women Win Wisconsin? Is that what we're calling you?
I think that's a good title. I'll take it.
And so, remind the audience. I know you were back here in October when you had first kind of launched it post-Senate campaign. And so, but remind our audience what Women Win Wisconsin is.
So Women Win Wisconsin is an organization dedicated to supporting women's rights and helping to elect women and get, quite frankly, more women at the table. Because let's face it, if we're not at the table, we're on the menu. And for me, one of the biggest issues that really was brought to light was really this whole issue on abortion. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have had 50 years, Kristen, to make abortion the law of the land. And we knew this was holding by a shoestring, but it was never prioritized. And I think part of the reason is we just didn't have enough women at the table, because I'll tell you, we would definitely prioritize this. And here we are. Back to an 1849 abortion ban in our state where women are second class citizens.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think so the first kind of go at it as far as candidates and issues, and I know you were all in on Mandela's campaign and Tony Evers' campaign. Were there other women's campaigns that you were backing in the fall?
Yeah. So one of the things that we really spent a lot of our time on is this effort called Women Save the Veto.
Yes.
So remember, we were 6 votes away from losing the governor's veto. And so, I mean, we need to get Tony Evers elected, and thank God that we did. But if we lost the veto, we wouldn't have a goalie. Mm-hmm. And that would have been horrific. So what we did is we identified 6 women in really competitive districts across the state and sponsored these women, did events for these women, really traveled. I mean, I was up in Superior with one of the candidates that we sponsored. We did Luann Bird in Milwaukee, and we did Shanklin in the Wausau area, and Chris Alfheim in Green Bay. So we were literally everywhere trying to uplift these candidates and also remind Wisconsinites that, look, at the end of the day, if you don't have the legislature, we're not going to be able to protect democracy and get these things done. So these are women that we can focus on to help save the governor's veto.
We talked to a lot of those women last fall.
Yep, we did.
And so as far as kind of takeaways from things you learned in the fall election across the different candidates and across the different races, what are you taking into the 2 major races that Women Win Wisconsin, both for Wisconsin Supreme Court with Janet Protasiewicz and for Senate District 8, which is a big deal, but is that not getting necessarily as much press? And I know you're very involved with both of those races right now, right? So what are some of the takeaways that you're taking into organizing around these 2 elections?
Well, I think something that we saw firsthand is that showing up matters. Mm-hmm. And we can't just rely on Madison and like Milwaukee to win these, for example, statewide elections. And so as a result, we've got to show up in these communities, talk about our values, because something that I have heard over and over again, it's like rural versus urban Wisconsin. And at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. We want clean water. We want to be able to make our own healthcare decisions. But we've got to show up and build trust and talk about this. And that's exactly now what we are doing in this spring election by doing these rallies for our rights across the state. And we're doing it right now in six communities to really motivate, inspire, and engage people that their rights are under attack, but their voice can matter when they vote in this election on April 4th.
So that's a good segue. So let's hear more about the different rallies that are coming up. And I think there's six in total.
Oh my gosh. We are hitting the road, Kristen. In fact, my husband said, he's like, are you fully on the campaign trail now, Sarah? I thought you got on to that. But yeah, they actually start this weekend. So we are doing our first rally in Appleton on Saturday, the March 11th. And then on March 12th, we're going to the other side of the state and doing a rally in Eau Claire. And then on the 18th, we're going to be in Green Bay. And then the following weekend, we're going to be in Madison and then La Crosse. And then we're going to wrap it all up and end with a big rally for our rights in Milwaukee on April 1st.
Nice. So,
yes. No, we're really excited about it.
And so who's all, like, are you having special guests at each one? Or is, like, how often are, like, is there other, yeah, like, who else is, like, what can people expect once they get there?
Well, so it's funny. I was recently talking with an organization that's statewide, and they said, so can we attend one of your planning meetings? And I'm like, which one? We do six. And they're like, wait, six? And I'm like, oh, yeah, we do at least six a week, because each one is really kind of customized based on the local leadership, local leaders, and kind of where we, again, can best fit their needs. It's not like I'm in a van traveling the state. We literally have kind of customized it based on the community. But part of it is to uplift voices within that community. So people are sharing their stories for the first time. Like a woman, for example, in Western Wisconsin, she had to have an abortion a few days after the Dobbs decision was overturned. And she was sharing with me just the horror of her on her cell phone with the doctor, trying to figure out where does she go because she's about to go septic. So it's women that are sharing their own stories, but at the same time, it's people in the medical community. You know, we have doctors that are talking about how this is impacting their career and their just ability to uphold their oath as doctors and, you know, protecting the health of these women. We also are having, you know, med students talk about, like, they're now thinking about, do they stay in this state if we're not willing to respect science? And we know most of our med students are actually the ones that serve in our rural hospitals. And then we have people from, like, rural hospitals talking about how this lack of access has really affected reproductive health. So it's a bunch of different speakers. But one other piece, Kristen, though, I want to emphasize is while we are sharing stories and really humanizing the effect that this has and the attack on our rights, we're making it fun.
Okay.
And so we're also going to have performers. So local performers are going to be there singing, and it's going to be a very family friendly rally. So you and your friends or your kids, like, you know, you can always start teaching someone how to be an activist. They're never too young for that. So.
Our guest is Sarah Godlewski, the former state treasurer of Wisconsin and former candidate for U.S. Senate and the founder of Women Win Wisconsin. Sarah, I just think it's really important to emphasize, too, that the right to an abortion is not the only thing that's on this ballot for April 4th, because they're going to come for contraception and they're going to come next for IVF. And like all of the people who have fought against any kind of gun safety saying they're going to come for everything, that has never happened with guns, but it is going to happen with women's reproductive freedom.
Well, and we're seeing these attacks happening right now. I mean, most recently, Walgreens, like the most common pharmacy in Wisconsin, has basically said, you know what, if an AG might be threatening to attack medical abortions, which has been approved by the FDA for decades and incredibly safe, they're just not going to dispense the medication. I mean, we're having corporate America now, like, just fold to, you know, these ridiculous political potential threats. And that's, like, where we are. And this is a major way in which women can get healthcare. So I think, Jane, you're right. Like, we know these attacks are only going to get worse. And I mean, whether it is women's reproductive care, we know, like, marriage equality, we have seen attack on voting rights. And, you know, one of the other attacks on rights that I talk about that I think sometimes goes unnoticed with this Supreme Court election is water rights. I mean, right now, going through Wisconsin's court system is, do corporations, should they be held accountable for PFAS, you know, those forever chemicals that are poisoning our lakes, poisoning our riverways? Right now, we have over 50 communities that have above PFAS recommended drinking levels. So this is toxic. And that could go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, so corporations aren't going to take responsibility for the pollution that they've caused in, you know, our freshwater state. So
that, that does explain a real big donation that just went to Dan Kelly's campaign by a certain pro-business group in Wisconsin.
Are you talking about, could it be the WMC?
Oh, that sounds familiar.
what was it? $3.5 million? I mean, imagine what that could do for Wisconsin. I said, oh, by the way, the Republicans refuse to expand Medicare for new moms because it's, you know, really pricey. But yet they can pay over $3.5 million to elect one of their buddies. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We're the last 10 states, one of the last 10 states that has not expanded
Medicare.
Yeah. And literally released today, Wyoming now is going to be expanding.
Oh, really? I missed that.
Medicaid. And I think Arkansas now just said that they're going to expand Medicaid because of the new mom benefits. You know, one of the big things is that expanding Medicaid will give new moms coverage for potentially up to a year at their most, you know, at the most critical time when they've just had a child. But, you know, crickets from our Wisconsin GOP, crickets.
And so, Sarah, when, because I always think about this, in the tool bag of organizing, when you canvass and you go door to door, you pick up the phone, you donate. So where do you feel like rallies, like why pick rallies as far as what your organization, Women Win Wisconsin, why was this, not that you're not doing other things, but as far as like this is this six different planning committees, six different rallies, like what role do you feel like in your experience is the value that they provide for the people who attend, and is it a ripple effect?
That's exactly it, is that we, how do you make change? You make change at like the kitchen table, or when you're at the coffee shop talking to friends, or when you're getting your hair done. And the best way to do that is by motivating and inspiring folks. And while they can watch all these commercials, I really believe the best way to do it is to have them join a community event where people feel like they are a part of something that they feel so committed to, but it's bigger than themselves. And so that's exactly what we are doing with these rallies, is creating this opportunity for people to learn more and to be good advocates in their own way. Because we know that this is not a once-off issue. A majority of Wisconsinites don't want their rights attacked and are looking for ways to really stop this. And so, an opportunity to get involved and bring friends and family along and do it together.
Absolutely. And I think, because I always think that's, you know, I remember flashing back to early 2017 when the joke was protest is the new brunch, because it just felt like there was something like protesting. But I think that it was like conditioning for a lot of people who were newly activated into politics, myself being one of them, of like kind of always caring, but on the periphery. And then all of a sudden, knowing a lot more and being way more involved. And so it's interesting to see how much that ethos has maintained of people. It's not just kind of a fringe thing anymore as far as like using it as an opportunity to actually organize and create community.
And I think especially after Dobbs, women and allies were like, what can I do? And I think they're continuing to try to figure out what can I do? And I think this is a really unique opportunity to kind of get people engaged and also link it to the election. Like one of the other aspects of these rallies is early voting. And so we're doing it at a time when you can early vote. Like the Madison event, we are doing it very close to an early voting site. So we can just walk on over and everybody can in-person early vote. You know, same thing with Milwaukee, right up by a building where we can just walk on over and everybody can early vote or can register, trying to make it convenient.
Absolutely.
So there's no excuses. Everyone can say, we can go and vote right now.
All right. Our guest is Sarah Gajewski. She's going to be here when we come back. If you have a question for her, feel free to text or call 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are talking to Sarah Gajewski about Women Win Wisconsin. How do you? I'm pretty sure I'm the only one who keeps screwing it up. But the three W's. Does it ever trip you up?
Oh, for sure. And then when we put, and then when we put www in documents, people are like, "Is it World Wide Web?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, like we thought, ooh, Women Win Wisconsin. It kind of rolls off the tongue. And then you're like, wait, is that too rolling off the tongue?
And it's also funny because it's true. Like in the reality of being a swing state, especially in the fall election, and this was going to be one of my questions as far as the women you've talked to, the women who've come out either in the organizing you all were doing in the fall or organizing coming up in the spring. How many of them are Republican women?
Well, I think that's where it has been so encouraging is how many conversations that I have had with independent or Republican women who are, first of all, very proud of their, you know, they are an independent. And same with like these Republican women, but they're like, this has gone way too far. And the extremism is not where I want to be. And that's not like for myself or for my family. And I think that's what's been so encouraging is how many conversations I have had with these independent or moderate Republican women.
Absolutely.
Stephen from Green Bay is on the line at 844-967-2789. Stephen, what do you want to say?
Hello, Sarah. I've actually been looking forward to speaking with you for quite some time. And I just kind of wanted to say, I don't want to speak on a specific subject this time, but I just kind of wanted to say I appreciate your service to the state. And I like that in the state that I live in and I reside in, that we have a Democrat that is scrappy and is not going to get mowed over by the Republicans. I really, really appreciate that. And thank you for everything you're doing to get women on ballots. I really appreciate that as well. So that's all I had to say.
Oh, thanks for the call, Stephen. I know. That's got to feel good.
I was going to say, thanks, Stephen, for making my day. And, you know, I think that's like a big piece of this work goes back to like being scrappy. I mean, after the new year, as I was looking at, okay, what can we start doing, thinking about the Supreme Court, it just became clear, like there's just a real opportunity to do these rallies. And it was then calling these local organizers, you know, it's not like we had any money. We were just being really scrappy and leveraging like local talent and what we were hearing on the ground to do these things.
And I have to think too, Sarah, that Stephen isn't the only male ally that we have. It's easy to feel like we're alone amongst our estrogen, but that's not true, right? We have male allies.
Well, and I think, you know, Jane, that's just like a really good point that we can't emphasize enough is that I think sometimes we feel isolated in this work, but that is what I have heard more and more, and we really need to be leaning in on is this larger ally group, you know, these dads, these husbands, these partners, you know, male friends that are like, no, this is not okay. I mean, I'll never forget, I was knocking on a door in Western Wisconsin. A very older gentleman came and answered, and I was like, ooh, I don't know if this is going to go my way. And the first thing out of his mouth is he's like, how does your candidate feel about women's rights? And I was like, okay, there we go. Well, he actually really supports a woman's right to choose and is really upset about the whole Dobbs decision and what freedoms are next. And he's like, exactly. He's like, they have gone too far. I've been on this train. We need to get more people. And this is, again, rural Wisconsin.
Wow. 80-year-old,
not who I would have thought. I thought he was going to maybe run me off his porch. And I think we need to do, you know, I think that's something that I think about we can candidly do better is building this alliance and these allies because we're all in this together.
We have another caller on the line who would like to say thank you to Sarah Godlewski. Go ahead, Luann.
Hello, Sarah. Thank you for what you're doing for us. Hi, sweetie. How are you?
It's so good to hear from you. I was actually just talking about you yesterday. So, you are always one of my favorite people, Luann. It was one of our Women Save the Veto candidates.
Yep. We had Luann on the show.
It was fun. It made a big difference when you came, Sarah, when I got on your list and had you come and motivate me and speak up for us. It really makes a big difference. So I can't thank you enough. I also want to point out that even though I lost, there's power in losing. I got 49% of the vote, and I carry that on my shoulder for women right now. It's, you know, I got to say, one good thing coming out of all of this is we can now finally openly talk about abortion as a healthcare issue, not as something you can't use the word anymore, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and Luann, I think one of the interesting things that I have just seen in this movement in general, even within the last year, is we would reach out to healthcare providers and they just didn't want to get into politics. They didn't want to talk about it. And now you reach out to healthcare providers and ask them to share their stories and they're like, great. Where do I sign up?
Oh, interesting.
Even other providers who will call me and say, is there a group that I can join? Is there like a group of doctors? And this is becoming not just with OBGYNs, with family physicians, because they are dealing with a lot of reproductive health because we don't have enough OBGYNs, for example. And so that's just been, I think, something that I have seen as a real shift in kind of the advocacy work that the medical community has now been more and more engaged post-Dobbs.
Absolutely. All right. Well, with a couple minutes we have left, remind everyone where they can get more information and maybe one more time with the dates and locations of the rallies.
I mean, Kristen, you love when I say Women Win Wisconsin.
I know, I do.
So the website is at womenwinwi.com. So womenwinwi.com. And there's also a tab that just says Rally for Our Rights. So you can see where we're going to be, what time, all the location. You can RSVP, connect to the Facebook pages, invite all your friends. I mean, it's all hands on deck. And you can get that through the website at womenwinwi.com.
All right, perfect. Well, we will link that to our website and our show notes for today. Sarah Godlewski, thank you. You're always welcome back. Thank you for all that you do. I'll be the third thank you for this segment. but yes, thank you for all that you do. Can't wait to see and hear how these rallies go, and we'll have to have you back soon.
It's always fun talking with you women, so can't wait to come back.
All right. Thanks so much. All right. Well, that does it for the noon hour. When we come back, talk about women. We're going to talk about women's basketball, and we're going to be joined by Emmy award-winning journalist, bestseller Kate Fagan, and her new book, Hoop Muses. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
We sit side by side in every class. Teacher thinks that I sound funny, but she likes the way you sing. Dream while I'm in bed, when silly thoughts go through my head about the bugs and alphabet. When I wake tomorrow, I'll bet that you and I will walk together again. I can